Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the marathon here as the marathon continues. 60 minutes of commercial free sports talk with D'Lo and KC and our 1320 Kings insider James Hamm here on KIFM West Sacramento, KRXQ HD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320, always live on the Odyssey app, the iHeart app. I hear we're going to be on the Sirius XM app beginning at the beginning of the football season. Of course, you can watch the show on youtube.com/ESPN1320 and twitch.com/ESPN1320 as well. Hammer, a lot of prediction markets, a lot of DraftKings and such have been talking about the Kings, or they've been, you know, setting win totals for the season, and it's not pretty at all. What's the best scenario for the Kings this season? And I'm not even talking about win-loss record. I'm just talking about what's the best scenario. Like, what will Kings fans feel good about this season for this team?
Yeah, I kind of went through a little bit of this, like what the best case scenario wins might be and what the worst case scenario, because like when you see a 22.5 game over under on the team that you're about to cover, that's really not good. That's not good at all, especially in a season where you're trying to win because of the relegation zone or whatever the heck you want to call the zone where you get worse draft picks, right? I think that there are pathways for the Kings to come out and play better than that, to maybe push for 31 to 35 wins. But everything has to go right. So I did the math, and I think it was something like 194 out of 274 games that the four players, Domantas Sabonis, Keegan Murray, DeAndre Hunter, and Zach LaVine missed last season. 194 of like a possible 270 something. So that in itself was crazy. If you stay healthy, all four of those guys are starting for you like day one. Like those are four of your five starters, and your fifth is Darius Acuff, right? So if you get that, if you get each of those guys playing, let's say 70 games, then I think this is probably a 30-win team. Because I look around, especially the Western Conference, and I think, like, yeah, the top end of the Western Conference is incredible. But then the Pacific Division is not good at all. And the Southwest has three teams that are bad. And so you're kind of looking at this and saying, okay, like, how bad are the Kings going to be? Because, like, when LeBron left the Lakers got worse. They went out and they got a bunch of players. But whether those players work together or not, who knows? Then we have the Clippers, who are in the middle of the Kawhi Leonard situation. They've added like Rui Hachimura and Keaton Wagler, but they've lost a ton of players. Go back to their roster last year versus this year. You know what they started with James Harden and Bradley Beal and John Collins and Zubats. All of those guys are gone. So that team, to me, looks like a 30-win team. Even if they get a Brandon Ingram and a combination of Brandon Ingram and Darius Garland, okay, like what else do you got? Nothing. And that's so that to me is going to be tough. And then you look at the Suns, and I don't think the Suns improved greatly either. Mm-hmm. So, and the Warriors. The Warriors did not improve. Actually, the Warriors just got older. Mm. That's all they did. And you can say, well, some of their young players might come up. Like, okay, is there one of those young players on that team that you would actually go out and trade for? No, you know, so I don't know. I'm looking at the Pacific Division, and it is the one in the Western Conference that took the biggest hit. And it's all of these different positions. Look how bad it was. Not only did LeBron leave the Lakers, but he didn't join the Warriors. If he would have joined the Warriors, you at least thought, okay, 45 games for the Warriors. Mm-hmm. That team won 37 games last year. And now Steph is 38 and he'll be 39 in March. You know, that team's not good. Jimmy Butler's not coming to save them. You're looking at a 36, 37-year-old who had a catastrophic lower leg injury and, you know, may miss the whole season, may miss half the season, and nobody wants to take his contract. So I think if you still look at the Kings and you know, take off the whatever lenses, the lenses of how bad this is going to be, Domantas Sabonis led the league in rebounding 3 years in a row and is a 19-6 and 14 guy. you know, Zach LaVine can still get you 20 plus points per game. He's still a two-time All-Star. Keegan Murray is still an excellent defender and a good three-point shooter. DeAndre Hunter is still a very serviceable, very good NBA basketball player. And then their second team is good as well. And so I like, you know, the Malik Monk, you know, Sharp and Nick Clifford with Precious Achiuwa and Max Reynaud, you know, Dylan Cardwell and Daquan Plowden. Like, none of it is like stunning and like over the top great, but you can actually see how they might fit together. And so I don't know that the Kings are going to be quite as bad as people think, especially when you pull back and you look at how bad some of the teams around them are going to be as well. And you're playing all of those teams four times a year. So, like, yeah, are you going to get beat by the Lakers? Yeah, but are you going to get beat 4-0 every time this whole season? I don't think so. Like, none of these teams should scare anybody. And that, I don't even know if there's, like, there's not a contender amongst them. I don't know if there's a 50-win team amongst them. And that's pretty crazy.
You know, we talked about it earlier where you're not going to get me on the record talking about, oh, man, 50 wins is the floor. And I just don't see this team being worse than 40 games. No. You know what? You're not going to get me on the record saying that at all.
Ever.
Okay? It's not happening. I will say this, though. I find it, I don't even want to say hard to believe, but just interesting that a team that essentially, if we're just being real with it, you could talk about how good these players are or not, but essentially got better at every position this year, like due to like people coming back from injury and your rookie point guard is going to win the same amount of games or in some cases less than that. I wouldn't make that bet. That's all I'm saying. That could just mean they win 25 games. I'm not saying they're doing a whole lot, but what, they going to win 20 games, 21 games this year? I'm not making that bet.
I'll tell you how that happens, though, because it can. It's always sitting there waiting for this team. It's that they let the chaos rule the day. Like, you fire Doug Christie 20 games into the season like you tried with Michael Malone, like you did with, you tried with Dave Yeager, like you did with Luke Walton, like you did with Mike Brown. Mike Brown got 31 games. Sorry. That's like the modus operandi of the Kings. Like, if you're not winning early in the season in a get out year for a coach where his contract's running out, then you just bail on him. And for me, that's the one thing that I could see this thing devolving into complete chaos and just a mess. Because, like, if we're all being honest, everyone should be honest. We're all like the circle of trust here, right? This team, it doesn't matter if Phil Jackson and Greg Popovich and Eric Spoelstra were all on the same coaching staff. They couldn't get this team to 45 wins. There's no way to do it. You don't have the overall talent to do what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And a lot of that's because you have these bloated contracts that you can't get rid of that are stopping you from taking the next logical step in your rebuild. And they can't do that yet. And so I get it. But if you're going to fire a coach like early in the season and act like that's going to fix anything, it's not going to fix anything. This team is what it is. And Scott Perry knows that. Like, that's why he keeps trying to trade all of the players. He knows it. Like, everyone above him should know that as well. This team was not built to compete for a playoff spot or a play-in spot or a six seed. It is going to be lucky if it's not the worst team in the league. And that's why, again, I don't think the Vegas is the end-all be-all, but Vegas is usually a lot more accurate than you think. But again, they missed by 12 and a half games last year. And a couple of years ago, they missed by like 15 games when the Kings went from 30 to 48 wins. So, you know, that's where I think it's kind of, it's a little bit of a good judge of what might happen. Like, because we have seen the other years where a lot of us are like, oh, this is a 45 win team. And they win 36. And Vegas had them at 35 and a half. And you're like, oh, okay. They knew something we didn't. And one of those things that they know is that chaos can rain down at any moment in this situation. And then what are we doing? Because I want to see these young players have one coach, one voice leading them at least the first this year of their career, maybe even the next year of their career, where like every other team is doing it if they're going through a rebuild, they give a coach a longer term deal and say, okay, like, we need to see improvement from these players. Can you do that? And that's where I think Doug Christie made strides last year, even if it was a bad season. And that's where I think he can make huge strides this year, is bringing along the Max Reynos, the Dylan Cardwells, the Neat Cliffords, the Emmanuel Sharps, the Alex Carabans, the, you know, and then, of course, your top pick. That's where Doug can really make a difference, is with guys like Darius Acuff, where he's bringing those guys along.
On the Powers That Be podcast, we examine the players and currents behind today's most consequential decisions. Join us. Listen to the Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.
See, that's the 1320 Kings insider James Hamm with us. Hammer, that I'm like, what are the expectations for Doug? Like what would result in Doug's firing? Like, I can't, like, if there is a belief that this team is, you know, potentially this bad, if there's a belief that this team won't win games, and I know that might not be the belief, like, inside the building, but I think Scott's a pretty realistic person. Like, he understands the reality that is ahead of him, at least as it stands for this season. What could Doug possibly do with this group that would result in his firing 20 games into the season?
Well, I think the first thing you can do is, I've said this about every coach forever, the minute you lose a locker room, then you got to go. So you lose a locker room, and whatever that is, like, however you lose that locker room, okay. But I also, I think this is a really interesting situation because, you know, you're going into the year knowing that you might have one or two of the quote-unquote hostages, and what I want to see is that as an organization, if somebody is becoming that, then get rid of them. Just send them home. And you can deal with the players union or whatever. You can say, hey, look, do you want us to drag your client through the mud and actually let us tell everybody in the world what they're saying behind the scenes? Because we can do that. And then they might not get another job as a malcontent. But let's see if this thing plays out the right way. Let's see if the young players are developing. And like, for me, like, if they start 2-18, is Doug Christie safe? No, I don't think he's safe. Like, but I also, I look at this 20 game mark, and I'm not just making up some number. Go back and look. Michael Malone was 11 and 13 when he got fired. And DeMarcus Cousins had just missed 10 games with viral meningitis, and they held him out for two more games to make sure that he dipped under 500 before they fired him. Luke Walton, barely would he get like 12 games, 13 games into a season. It's just the way that this situation, that this franchise handles themselves. Dave Yeager told me before the first game of the season, the 2018-19 season, I got 20 games and I'm getting fired. And I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I have 20 games and I'm getting fired. And I'm like, are you kidding? He's like, nope. Got to 20 games and they're winning. And they couldn't fire him. And instead, you had somebody go out and do a hit piece on Yahoo about how Dave Yeager is still getting fired because he won't play Marvin Bagley. And so, again, like, this is what they do. And it's because they want to pay an interim coach. That's part of it. But I think, you know, Doug Christie, the thing I would tell Doug and thing I will tell Doug, just run. Like, you don't have the experience. You don't have all the pieces in place. But what you do have is a relatively deep roster, even if it's young and inexperienced. Run, 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 run. And when somebody gets tired, switch them out for somebody else. Mm-hmm. And try to mask everything and try to win as many games as possible. Because losing games doesn't help you. And, you know, no matter what, I don't think, even if they did that, even if they catch lightning in a bottle, go back to the Dave Yeager year where they got all the way to the end of the season and they're a playoff team and you're looking at the playoffs and then all of a sudden the gimmick stopped working and they lost a bunch of games down the stretch and they missed the playoffs. That's because it was smoke and mirrors the whole time, but smoke and mirrors still kept Dave Yeager hired for 82 games mm-hmm. and helped develop a young point guard in De'Aaron Fox into the player he became. I helped develop Buddy Hield into the player he became. It did help, and it had moments where you actually saw that it was going to work. But also, you have to understand that, like, you can't just do that for 82 games. You're always going to see some sort of fade near the end.
James, do you have a feel for how this front office or even at the top, when you talk about Vivek Ranadive, how they feel about Doug Christie right now. Do they look at him as a guy that they want to grow with? I know the contract maybe tells you everything you need to know, but do they look at him as a guy that they want to grow with and wants him to grow with the franchise? Or are they still kind of undecided and trying to see how everything plays out? How do they feel, in your opinion, about Doug Christie right now today?
I don't know. Like, I think if you talk to Scott and you listen to Scott in his press conferences, I think he's been very clear that Doug has room to grow as a coach. And I think a lot of that, to be honest with you, is some of the players that he had on the roster last year and, you know, the veteran players where Doug relied too heavily on veteran players that probably should not have been playing the minutes they were playing. Mm-hmm. But he was also scrambling and trying to keep a job. And so that's why I'm never a fan of a 2-year contract for a head coach. You know, give a guy room to grow so he can do what's right for everybody. And what's right for everybody doesn't always feel good because it means you're going to lose games. But, you know, what's right last season, it was to sit there and bring Max Raynaud along. It was to give Neat Clifford 25 minutes a game and have him play almost 1,900 minutes as a pro. That's what that team had to do. And so you almost can't blame Doug for the overall win-loss record. You can blame him that maybe he played Russell Westbrook too much. Maybe he played DeMar DeRozan too much. But there always came a point where he wasn't going to play those guys. And you're just trying to get to that point in the season where you kind of admit what it is that you have and then also realize that you can't win a bunch of games because of, you know, the NBA draft lottery. But, yeah, it's not a great spot to be in if you're Doug Christie. And I hope that, you know, they think highly of him. I know they think highly of him as a human being. And, you know, they also know the lineage that he has here in Sacramento. But at the same time, like, you had, like, the 28th worst defense in the league and the 29th worst offense in the league. Like, if those are the numbers you're going to put up again, then you're probably going to get fired. And that's because the numbers say that that's the right thing to do. And again, it doesn't matter how much we care for Doug or how much we think that he should get a longer leash here than he might. It just doesn't really matter. You know, at the end of the day, coaches who lose that many games, who have back-to-back 60 loss seasons, or close to it, typically lose their jobs.
1320 Kings insider James Hamm with us, of course, host of the Locked On Kings podcast and Kings Beat podcast as well. Hammer, you mentioned DeMar DeRozan a second ago. We are nearing August, which I think was a time frame that the Sacramento Kings had to decide what they wanted to do with his contract. Do we have any idea what's going to happen with DeMar DeRozan's $10 million and what might influence that decision over the coming, I guess, might be days at this point?
Yeah, they have until August 31st. So they have a little bit of time here, but you know, I also think that they've been waiting to see what happens with LeBron, to see if a roster spot out there opens up that maybe someone wants Zach LaVine and you might be able to do a buyout at a reduced rate and he might be able to go and find a spot. Or, you know, again, I think there are other teams in the league that are probably at this point being held a little bit hostage by the Kawhi Leonard situation. Because if the league comes down and they ban, you know, Kawhi Leonard for 50 games or they void his contract, that deal with Toronto goes away completely. And now if you're the Kings, are you calling Toronto and saying, hey, you know, we still have a potential deal that we could work through here? So I do think that there are ways in which this is all kind of hung up a little bit. And the first shoe to drop was going to be LeBron. The second shoe to drop has got to be what's going to happen with Kawhi. And everything else seems pretty quiet. So if they're not able to move off of Zach LaVine, they're not able to move off of DeMar DeRozan, the only way they can truly get under the luxury tax is to stretch provision DeMar DeRozan, which is probably also the reason why they haven't filled their 14th roster spot, because they're trying to figure out what happens. Plus, you know, again, you want to hold on to your roster spots early on here. So if you have to do a bigger deal, a 3-for-1 or a 2-for-1 or a 5-for-1, that you actually don't have to cut players, that you can, you know, kind of go into. There is an expanded roster for the summer once training camp opens and stuff. But for right now, it's still pretty tight. And, you know, you don't want to waste those roster spots and then have to cut somebody.
So that Kawhi Leonard situation may not be nearing a conclusion.
I don't think it is on a number of different levels, right? Like, even if something is handed down, a punishment is handed down, the guys on the jump were talking about the other day, there's like an appeal process.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah, but the appeal process to the same exact people. Like, they made the decision, so it'll go to appeal. I don't think the appeal process will take that long. And look, I've read that
is certainly a flaw in the system.
Yeah.
You got to appeal the decision. And I know that was a big complaint with the NFL too, is Roger Goodell was the hearer of the appeal, just as he was the guy who handed down the punishment. Yep. It's like, what are we doing here?
Yeah, it's tough. And like, look, I think the league, I've read the Clippers are not at all happy that the NBA and that whoever's investigating, they've looked into all kinds of other things that are going on there. They think that there's a second deal, where he was getting paid to do something that he never showed up to do. And on top of that, there are a bunch of, things that Kawhi should have reimbursed the Clippers for. And he hasn't, and the Clippers aren't asking him to reimburse them. And that, again, is another way in which you're circumventing the salary cap. So I think this is going to end up being one of those things that the league really looks at as like a deal breaker. And how do you handle this? How do you punish a team that has, brazenly, if that's the way it works out, brazenly just snub their nose at the NBA luxury tax, and a player who has done the same exact thing, who has representation, who is asking teams to violate the salary cap. And that's where I do think that we could see this be one of the most consequential, like, hammers dropped. The one that sticks in my mind is a Joe Smith deal where they penalized Minnesota like 5 first round picks. And I mean, just stymied their program for a decade.
And then decided let's provide some context. They did punish them 5 first round draft picks. Mm-hmm. They gave them 2 of them back. Also, let's point out they took the 2001, 2, and 3 draft pick away. Mm-hmm. You hear me? 1, 2, and 3. Mm-hmm. Do you know where Minnesota was in 2004?
In the Western Conference.
They were in the Western Conference Finals. So I guess draft picks. Now, that was a very different Minnesota Timberwolves team than this Los Angeles Clippers team. This Los Angeles Clippers team could very well be just decimated by losing draft picks, given that they don't have the team built that the Minnesota Timberwolves had at the time of that punishment in the early 2000s.
Yeah, and I think we should all be looking around and saying, again, look at the Pacific Division. Like, a month ago, 2 months ago, I would have told you, oh, the Kings are so far behind everybody. But are they at this point? Yeah, you're behind the Lakers. Like, I'm not saying, like, this season, like, they're going to – I mean, as far as their rebuild goes, like, they're way ahead of where I believe the Clippers are. They're way ahead of where the Golden State Warriors are. And even the Phoenix Suns, like, they're way ahead of where the Suns are, just in the talent that they've already amassed, the young talent and the draft picks that they have, that you could see where the Kings actually could come out of this a little bit quicker, specifically because of the division they play and the teams around them.
And to that Clippers Kawhi situation, though, I've always been of the belief they can't punish Kawhi more than they could punish the Clippers. Kawhi and Uncle Dennis can ask for whatever they want. It's on the it's the responsibility of the franchise and the organization to say no. And we came up when we were doing this in Vegas and talking about it. I think the number we kept coming up with was $10 million. I think that's what the Mavericks were fined for their situation with Mark Cuban and sexual harassment and all this other stuff. And we were trying to figure out, is there a limit that the NBA can fine an owner? And we just kept coming up with that $10 million.
It is, because it's $10
million. Yeah. Kawhi Leonard is going to lose more than $10 million if he loses 50 games. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, yeah.
That, and he should not get penalized more than the Los Angeles Clippers, monetarily and in the situation where they're losing draft picks or whatever. They're the culprits. They're the ones that did it. He can ask for whatever he wants. They're the ones that actually provided the services in that situation. And there should be no way, in my opinion, that he should get penalized more than the Clippers.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, if you're gonna have somebody who gives the entire plans to rob a bank and hands it to somebody else, they're still culpable in the same way.
They are, but the person who robbed the bank should get more.
Well, maybe, but the intent is still there. And so I don't think it matters what, like, Uncle Dennis knew that he was asking for something that wasn't legal. Mm-hmm. They were asking for a way for them to circumvent the salary cap. That means you have a bad faith character in the building. And for that matter, like, if it all proves out to be that way, then Kawhi Leonard's the same exact thing. He accepted the money. He didn't do the job that he was supposed to go out and do on the outside. And at the end of the day, like, he, to me, if they void his contract, okay. They void his contract and then ban him for a year, okay. Yeah, I don't know. It's
then,
tough.
Then Ballmer and the Clippers should be banned for a year. Like, my argument, I know we got to go, but my argument isn't that.
The team for the year? Well,
the owner, the whatever.
The Clippers, there's no Clippers. Just teams in black jerseys just playing out here. No name on them. Just nothing.
Kawhi should be punished for sure, but it shouldn't be more than the Clippers who actually provided the service.
I understand. We'll get to that. Let's get back to that subject. Hammer, great to see you, my friend. Not quite Cabo, but still
Cabo, Sacramento, yes. same thing.
It's all right. I'm a little burned. I was out coaching soccer and lost track of time and all that stuff.
So, it's all good, man. We appreciate you. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Take care.
See you guys.
That's our man, James Hamm, right there, host of the Locked On Kings podcast. Of course, our 1320 Kings insider. I want to get back to the Kawhi thing. There's a lot of real interesting stuff there. But a quick note from our good friend, John Hollinger, by way of our good friend, Kyle Mattson. The NBA's collective bargaining agreement specifies that a cap circumvention case must be tried before a system arbitrator and then potentially go through an appeals process before any penalty can be handed down by the commissioner. Adam Silver can't even make the determination as to what the punishment is until the appeal process is heard, if, of course, it is filed, and I have to assume it's going to be. They want this thing to be. That was my first. You talk about red flags. Them talking about next season was a red flag to me because this thing doesn't appear to be anywhere near over. We'll come back. I want to get back to the Kawhi Leonard Los Angeles Clippers thing. And then we do, and then there's a lot more basketball to talk about. There's more Kings basketball to talk about. But training camp is underway. Day two of the San Francisco 49ers training camp is in the books. We'll talk about that. And the bizarre start to yesterday's day one. That's ahead here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
This is
what
awful.
A sentence. The downfall of wrestling on SportsCenter.
This is awful that they're all over ESPN like this. This is just not.
She's been the WWE champion for 301 days.
Come on, man. What are we doing? We got my girl Christina really interviewing her. And this is really a SummerSlam. I don't even want to say it, man.
Say it.
Not because I'm going to sound disrespectful.
Sound disrespectful.
Covering this thing like it's really a sport, man.
Oh, damn. I've never said that before.
Still real to me, damn it. Yeah. Wow.
Take it easy, pal.
Wow.
What was that, Terry Funk?
I think it was Terry Funk that said that.
Relax, pal.
Can we pull that clip up? Have we ever actually played that clip?
Maybe way back, but yeah, it's time for refresher.
Oh, it's so great. Well, take it easy, pal. So I feel like saying to Kenny, take it easy. I don't know that Tiffany Stratton being on SportsCenter is the downfall of professional wrestling.
Well, not
if anything,
this moment.
Is the downfall of SportsCenter.
Not this moment, but like we talk about this often. Like they're on SportsCenter all the time. They're on First Take, and it's like,
yeah.
Come on, man, this isn't this. It was better back in the day. when they were.
Oh, yeah. You did have a birthday while I was away. Have hit that age where it was better while I was away.
It was better, bro.
It was better when it was better in our day.
They got one little, oh, man, did you see Jonathan Coachman did a 10-second highlight on The Rock? Oh, that was awesome. And then they wouldn't be on ESPN for another 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, they're interviewing Tiffany Stratton, bro. Come on.
Y'all, wait a minute. Here we are.
Next question, Jeff. Yeah. Where are you? Right there.
Yeah. I just want to thank each and every one of y'all for all you've done to your bodies. It's still real to me, damn it. I mean, thank you.
Easy, man.
Thank y'all, guys. You're awesome. Thank you. Thank y'all, guys. You're awesome.
Take it easy, man.
I'll have to cut that.
Oh, it's even better than I remembered.
Take it easy, man.
It's even better than I remembered.
Oh, man.
It's still real to me, damn it.
Is that what people think we sound like?
Oh, see, that's the thing. That's the thing. It's
is
like
that
when
the non-wrestling watchers think we sound like
when people think of professional wrestling and wrestling fans, that is what they think of. That guy right there.
Oh man.
Oh,
that's tough. That's tough.
We're out here spending a half hour. How's Cody gonna finish his story?
For the 10th time. How many stories does Cody have?
Yeah, Cody doing too much though. Cody doing too much. Writing another book.
Cam Scataboo doing a backflip and not sticking.
Oh my
the
god!
Land.
Oh
yeah, that was crazy. Absolutely hilarious.
That right after your, not right after, but your season ended because your foot went the wrong way.
Mm-hmm.
You going? All right, man. We didn't talk about this last week. Did you see your boy John Harbaugh? Did you see that clip? Did you see that, Jesse?
I don't think I did.
John, no, I think I missed it.
Oh,
I
man.
I saw John talking about Cam's little pack flip, but that was it.
No, John, they had like a, it wasn't Hard Knocks or something, but it was like something on the behind the scenes, and it was sounding rough, bro. It was sounding
what do you
rough.
Mean?
He just sounded like, I'll put it to you like this. After the clip, people were like, over under on New York Giants wins. Go under.
Who was the coach that's like, oh, yeah, how did you get to camp? You take a bus here? Who was that guy?
He
was
the Cardinals?
Gone. Hey,
the Cardinals
it was gone again. Yeah, yeah. Who took a bus here? None of us. We're all millionaires.
I'm a little nervous, man. Excited nerves, you know? Nervous like before the game almost. Let's get this thing kicked off. I'm standing up in front of you. New York Giants.
Yeah, I got it right here.
Oh, okay. All right.
I don't know. I can't remember if they curse.
I'm scrolling. I don't think he does. I have the captions on. I don't think he does, but no, we'll find out together.
Welcome, man. Good to see everybody here. You excited?
Yes, sir.
A little nervous?
Nope.
No nervous?
A little nervous, man.
No pop.
I'm nervous, excited nervous, okay. You know? Nervous like before a game almost, Nathan. Give this thing kick off. Standing up here in front of the New York Giants. The New York Giants.
Back up, coach.
It's the New York Giants sitting in this room. The New York Giants. Wow. It's an honor. It's an honor to stand in front of this room right now. Oh, I know those coaches back there feel the same way, right, coaches?
Sergio.
It's an honor.
Hey, can you get to the point,
coach?
We've
been working, haven't we? We've been working early and we're late getting ready for today. Today.
Can you get Jim
sitting in this chair, this seat, getting to work, getting started.
You did not rehearse this.
Because this is where it all begins, together.
All right, man.
Oh, and they put that out.
That's what I'm saying.
They put that out like, yo, this is going to do numbers.
He did the wrestling thing, Sacramento. How are we doing? No pop.
The NFL team has probably about...
He really was Mick Foley in that joint right here with the New York Giants.
It's good to be here. We're here in New York City. Wow.
The NFL football team probably has, what would you say, about 20 coaches or whatever. And he said, you guys are excited, right, coaches? And one guy was like, yeah.
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 He wanted a pop so bad, and it's just like it wasn't happening.
You know, he wanted a pop because he would repeat himself like three different times.
It's like, here, it's the New York Giants.
No, that was big. So who took a bus here, energy?
Oh, man. That's going to be an all-timer.
That was Jonathan Gannon.
Yeah, that's Jonathan Gannon.
That's the bar. That's the bar. If you're ever near that, which I don't think John was below that or near it. It was close. But who took a bus here is – that's crazy work for the NFL, bro. That's the crazy work for college at this point.
That's crazy work for a human being.
Who took a bus here? At Rockland High, they'd be like, what are you talking about?
What, man, get your bitch ass out. What are you doing?
Yeah, but John, I don't know, man. They said take the under, bro.
Kyle Madsen points out Lamar Jackson, the best player in the league, for taking that guy to the playoffs. Jeez.
I don't think John.
Please, someone find the clip of him going, it's the Baltimore Ravens here. The Baltimore Ravens!
They were really.
Oh, Jesse, run it. Go ahead. I see Jesse got it.
Oh,
go
yes.
Ahead, run
go.
This.
Let's
run
go.
This.
Good to see everybody's faces. Who drove over here?
Everyone.
Wait, let me see your hands. Who took the bus? Did you have fire in your gut?
What?
Did you? We're here for a reason. Don't get that faces. Who drove over here? Wait, let me see your hands. Who took the bus? Did you have fire in your gut?
Did you have fire in your gut from the bus?
Did you?
Huh?
We're here for a reason. Don't get that twisted. Okay, we're here for a reason to win games. So if you didn't have that fire in your gut, you better light the fire pretty fast. Okay. So, everyone's
light the fire,
on time.
Guys. Look at my man's writing. Light the fire. Yeah, he's writing. Light the fire.
Hey,
that was so bad.
Oh. It was even worse than I remember.
Yeah, that was worse than I remember. Yeah, that was worse. that was worse.
Did you take the bus?
Did you have that fire?
Hey, coach, why does it matter? Like,
did
you care how I got here?
And then at the end, yeah, you guys were on time. You got that fire in your gut.
Oh, my goodness, man. Some of these coaches are awful when it comes to, like, trying to galvanize and tell people and have speeches and stuff. Mm-hmm. Awful. They may know the X's and O's, but they can't get anybody hyped up.
I think a lot of coaches are awkward. They spend so much time studying film and, like, they learn, you know, football, the game. And maybe they don't necessarily know people skills. Like, it is 1,000% clear. Bill Belichick has no people skills whatsoever.
Fired Mike Lombardi.
Absolutely none. I don't think he fired him. I think he put him on leave, didn't he?
That's right. That's exactly what happened.
I think North Carolina put him on leave. Yeah. But, yeah. Goodness gracious. Sorry, I got distracted. I'm scrolling through. I had Twitter open because you mentioned John Harbaugh. I was like, let me see what's going on here. And I see that AEW used a drill in one of their matches.
Yeah,
was Chris Jericho.
Okay, yeah, I didn't see the video, but
a power drill. They used a power drill in one of their matches.
We got the projector out already.
Hey, man. Hey, your boy, our boy, he's got to defend that one.
Yeah.
He's got to get in the group chat right now and defend that. What are we doing, man?
Better than watching him do flips.
Next, they're going to do flips with the power drill.
Power drill. Goodness gracious. I guess it's still real to me, damn it.
What did he say? Take it
easy.
Why was he so emotional? Jeez.
All right.
Oh, man.
He's so worked up.
Oh! Wait a minute. Do I need to be watching this?
We got it on the video.
I haven't seen it. Yeah, we all got to watch it together.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if I need to be watching this.
I haven't seen it.
So for the radio audience, there was a drill. Go ahead. Run it. Come on, man. Chris isn't going to do this, is he? Chris Jericho? Okay, so they got
I'll try to find a better clip.
That's just fine.
All right,
No, we'll just prove this whole thing. Hold on.
They do the wrestling thing where he blocks it just in time, and it makes it look like he has a power drill, but with Scooter? What is the thing called where you got to put an anchor in the wall? The drill bit.
The drill bit.
It has a drill bit at the end of it.
Oh.
All right, man. Jesse is just hell-bent on trying to find
I think they used like another like screw needle or whatever, and Chris Jericho's jamming that into the guy's head.
Like, what are they doing? Yeah. Like, what is? What are they doing?
There's a fan. Still there's hanging a fan, out, man. There's a fan version of it.
Like, nah, it's fine. AEW is doing way too much.
Way too much.
We don't need power drills. We don't need thumbtacks. We don't need any of that stuff.
Shout out to them though for one thing. They're still kicking. What has been like 5-6 years?
Oh, they're more than kicking. Like they're doing just fine. Like I think I could be wrong. They might have been around longer than WCW was.
Wow.
Because remember WCW was that's Turner.
Yeah.
It was the NWA before that. Like when Turner bought it, like it wasn't around very long.
What would you say about 8 years?
Yeah, about that.
It says 12 and a half years under Turner ownership.
So was it started in 91? No, that had to be 89.
88.
I could believe that.
Turner bought it in 88?
October 88.
Because it didn't WCW.
So what's AEW going on now then?
Probably like 5, 6.
Oh, it's got to be longer than 5. Well, maybe not. Dynamite's the TV show's probably been about 5 years.
Yeah, they're going.
But I feel like they formed before the TV show started. But
they
started airing on Turner Networks October 2nd, 2019.
Wow, 19.
Wow.
Okay, about 7 years. 7 years in October.
That's crazy what you said about WCW though, because that. It feels like forever, but it probably was.
It wasn't around that long. Yeah, it wasn't around that long. And Nitro was only around 95 to 01.
The Nitro.
That's pretty much like not the real WCW, like the peak of it right there, I guess.
Yeah.
Oh, the peak was, the peak was 96, 97, 98.
How long was Nitro on before the Outsiders came?
About a year. Well, less than that, because I think the Razor Ramon Scott Hall moment was in May of 96. Nitro, I think, debuted in September of 95, when Raw was preempted by like the U.S. Open or something.
Yeah, I used to get them. Didn't the dog show?
Yeah, the Westminster dog show and the U.S. Open used to destroy our Monday nights. But Nitro started on a day at the Mall of America in Minnesota when Raw wasn't on, so they were on unopposed that week.
And that was right. We've done this a million times. I forgot. That was right after Lex.
It was that day. Lex had wrestled.
Wasn't he on a pay-per-view the night before?
No, he had wrestled at a house show the night before.
That's what it was.
And flew straight to Minnesota, walked out. Get the camera off him. He wasn't under contract for WWE at the time. His contract had lapsed. They had said they were working on a new one. He'd said, "I'm going to sign it. I'm going to sign it." He never signed it. Eric said, "Look, here, we'll do this." Like Eric didn't really want him. Bischoff didn't really want him. He said, "But we'll do this. You just can't tell anyone. Absolutely no one. The only people who know are me, you, and Sting. No, because Sting set up the whole thing. No one else can know." And so he just walked out on Vince and
shout out to Eric Bischoff.
Get the camera off him.
And Tony Schiavone and those guys. They were good for that moment when somebody would like appear on there and they would, hey, what is he doing here? Yeah. Hey. What?
Well, that's the Larry Zbyszko moment on one, when Scott Hall could get the camera off him.
they get me on that one. I'm like, wait, do they not know? Like, is this, wait a minute. No, he's really there as a
It's so funny, too, that there's a lawsuit that WWE filed against WCW for trademark infringement. And the first thing that Scott Hall says when he walks in the ring is, "Ayo." Bro, what a white guy named Scott do you know talks like that?
Yeah, man, they did a good job at that.
Give WWE all the money at this point.
Oh, my gosh, he's really over there representing WWF.
Crazy. Crazy. I want to touch on one quick thing we were talking about with James Hamm regarding the Clippers and the Kawhi Leonard situation. You are adamant that Kawhi Leonard can't be punished more than the Los Angeles Clippers. Mm-hmm. The Kawhi Leonard punishment, people keep focusing on the when this is discussed, the voiding of the contracts. Mm-hmm. The voiding of the contracts is important because it means no one has his bird rights, which means his dollar figure drops, like his the amount of money that he can sign drops. Mm-hmm. And I think that's where, and you, correct me if I'm wrong, I think that's where you get into the idea that Kawhi Leonard, because if his contracts are voided, he can't, if his contracts are voided, one, I don't think he could be traded because he's not under contract. So the Toronto Raptors can acquire him for anything more than whatever their cap space is. Right. Like, and you don't have the years of service that you earn to sign a deal of that value. Mm-hmm. That's where the loss comes in. A suspension would obviously cause a, you know, a negative dollar figure moving forward. But I wonder if that's the compromise. There isn't a suspension, that the Clippers take the brunt of the suspension, assuming anything happens at this point. The $10 million fine, the draft picks, like whatever that might be, and Kawhi's years are just voided. Mm. And that's where the loss of income comes from. It's not in a you're fined this amount or you're suspended this amount, you're going to lose this amount next year. Right. You're going to lose the amount because you've obviously already got this money. Mm-hmm. You've made it. They're not taking money from you, but you're not getting that hundreds, I can't remember the number, $50 million extension that's waiting for you in Toronto because your years don't match anymore. And now you just have to sign with a team with cap space.
Yeah. And that's,
and you're on the LeBron deal, buddy.
That's part of it as well. But Kawhi Leonard is set to make $50 million this year. Mm-hmm. This is money that hasn't been given to him yet, right? Mm-hmm. Set to make $50 million this year. If he's suspended for half the season, and when I say this, I'm assuming that he doesn't get paid for that, right? When you're suspended.
You don't.
So essentially losing $25 million and the Clippers lose $10 million.
But what if he's not suspended?
If he's not suspended.
What if his contract's just voided? So you lose the $50 million. Mm-hmm. Like not 25, you lose 50. Now you'll recoup some of it, but again, in all likelihood, you're recouping, and I'll use the LeBron number, you're recouping like $4 million. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I don't know how any of this is going to go. Like James mentioned, and I think a lot of us read this report that they're investigating other things now. It's been completely unclear, unless I missed something, forgive me, if those other things have anything to do with the Los Angeles Clippers. Is this Toronto? Is this San Antonio? Like, what is this? Or is this just a completely separate Los Angeles Clippers thing? Right. Because if it's a separate Clippers thing, we've got the Steve Ballmer has a huge problem. Because I don't know how you get out of two of these types of deals.
Yeah. That's tough. And once again, my whole thing isn't Kawhi getting off without any type of repercussions or anything else like that. He absolutely should. But monetarily, you know, it shouldn't be 25 or, you know, we just void your contract. Where essentially, like, if I'm Kawhi, I'm looking at it like, y'all took $50 million from me. And they get fined $10 million. And I know there's...
It's going to be a lot more than 50, though.
Yeah,
because it's going to be the next future contract. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. And I know there's value in the first round picks that maybe the Clippers won't, but it just doesn't. We talk $10 million, and to a certain degree, like Ballmer or Larry Frank or anybody, they're not suspended, but I'm suspended and I lose money. I if I'm Kawhi Leonard, I shouldn't be penalized more monetarily and games loss than the Clippers.
Now, going back to the Minnesota situation, I think both Glenn Taylor and Kevin McHale were I don't know that they used the word suspended. Mm-hmm. I think the term banned from team activities was used. Mm-hmm. In addition to the fine, the draft picks. And again, the draft picks are so funny. I understand the Minnesota... That basketball team is in a far different situation than this Los Angeles Clippers team. He made the Western Conference Finals after not having a first-round draft pick for 3 years. After this whole ordeal, they made the Western Conference. It was quite, up until this point, it is quite literally the best Minnesota Timberwolves basketball team we've ever seen. Mm-hmm. And that obviously that won't be the case in Los Angeles, as they're in a far different situation. But I did, as I was, you know, reading about this last week, find humor in that. You know, for the draft pick lovers who are like, ah, this is a blow to your argument.
Right.
This is a big blow to your argument.
Didn't baseball suspend or ban George Steinbrenner back in the day?
Yes.
They could do that for Ballmer. I don't know. Once again, yeah, I don't know what that entails.
They could.
Like,
yeah.
You can't attend games, or just the public embarrassment of being banned or suspended. Maybe that's the case, but. Yeah, fine, and one or two picks, that's not enough for me.
If you, I guarantee you, as soon as this punishment comes out, or as soon as the punishment leaks, or as soon as, the results of the investigation leak, there's going to be a Knicks Jalen Brunson story.
Oh, for sure.
Now, there might not be anything there, but you always say, if I'm Ballmer, we're going to start looking at some other. Coincidentally, you're going to start hearing some things the second that the report about whatever these findings are comes out.
And we got to shake it. But I'm going to say this. If I'm Adam Silver, I'm like, I better not hear anything else, because I'm letting you keep your team. Mm. You could be losing your team. Take your punishment. Don't mention anybody else and what they got going on. And we'll just leave it at that.
Yeah. And I guess I'll just play the role of you playing the role of Donald Sterling this time, because I'd look Adam Silver straight in the face and go, you don't have the balls to take my team. Bro, I am not Donald Sterling. We'll come back. We'll talk 49ers training camp and the unfortunate situation involving Kyle Shanahan when D'Lo and Casey return here on Sacramento Sports Leader ESPN 1320.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history-telling podcast chronicling the epic story of America decade by decade from the 18th century to the 20th. Original music and immersive sound design accompany us on our storytelling journey. Listen to and follow History That Doesn't Suck, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.